It's a beautiful day to talk about love. Do you know that it's estimated that 60% of all songs written are love songs? Around 12% of all movies are romances. And the number one genre in books is romance novels, bringing in around $1.5 billion a year. And do you know that the word love appears 221 times in the New Testament? It comes in fifth behind God, Lord, Jesus, and faith. And there are wonderful, wonderful statements about love in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And another, when asked by the Pharisees which commandment was the most important, Jesus says, the most important one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. My command is this, says Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. No one spoke or acted upon love like Jesus did, which makes sense as he's God's manifestation of love to us. And yet, you want to know an interesting thing? There's not one time, not one single time recorded in the New Testament in which Jesus says the words, I love you. So how does that work? Because we all know and feel Christ's love for us, so why didn't he ever say those words? Well, the reason is he spoke a different language. He spoke a different language of love. In 1995, Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Languages of Love. His theory is that we all speak one of five love languages, that there are five different ways that we either express or receive love. And to have the healthiest relationships we can, we need to know our language. But more importantly, we need to know the love languages of those whom we love. Because love is a language. It's a different language. And it's a language that we all need to work to become fluent in. So I wrote a little story. It goes like this. You're on a trip to Russia, and you don't speak Russian. And you want to go to a library. Because honestly, when you go to Russia, who doesn't want to go to a library? But you need directions. And a friendly Russian vaguely understands what you're looking for and gestures with her arms the way that you should go. So you follow those directions and you end up at a bookstore. Close, but not really what you wanted or needed. Now, if you had an English-Russian translation book with you or your phone with a translation app, even though you still don't speak the same language, you could use those tools to understand and to be understood, and you can share common language. But there's also different dialects of love. For instance, my family, as you know, is from Maine. And in Maine, they have a different way of speaking. And they don't sound like my friends in Long Island, or from Tennessee, or from Texas, or from South Dakota. So yes, we're all speaking the same English language, but there are very different dialects, and the words sound very different depending on who's speaking them. The same is true for our love languages, the way we express our love for others in all our relationships, whether it's marital, committed, family, or friendships. Now, we don't have to speak the same language or even the same dialect, but if we want to be in loving relationships, whether it's with our spouse or partner, our parents, our siblings, our children, our friends, we have to understand not only the language we are speaking, but more importantly, we need to work to understand the language others are speaking. So what are these languages? Well, their acts of service, gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, and quality time. So just a question, when I read these off, did one of these titles elicit a response in you? That may be your love language. And are they really all that different? Yep. But remember, like anything, just because you prefer to speak from one language doesn't mean that you don't enjoy other languages or understand them or even need to sometimes speak or be spoken to in another. It is a matter of preference, not a matter of ability. And in all honesty, there's really only one person who's spoken all five love languages perfectly, and that's Jesus. He speaks all languages of love with immense power. So as we're going through these five languages of love, try to find yourself in them, but also try to identify other people who are important in your life. All right, so let's begin. It's a simple question. When you are loved, how do you know it? You could also say, I know my husband or wife loves me because, and then fill in the blank. So to help, I've written up some scenarios. So let me introduce you to Bill and Jan. Bill is married to Jan. It's been 15 years, and something is wrong with their relationship. Bill tells Jan every day that he loves her, but she just rolls her eyes. She's heard it before, she thinks, but he doesn't really mean it. After all, she keeps the house clean and the laundry, she packs him a lunch every day, and she even organized the garage, which he had wanted to do for months, but never got around to it. But he never does anything like that for her. And Bill? Well, Bill knows that Jan doesn't love him anymore. She never says, I love you or I'm proud of you to him. And every time he tells her that he loves her or gives her a compliment, he gets that annoying eye roll, and then she just gives him a list of jobs to do around the house. Can you fix that squeak in the kitchen door? Could you trim the roses? Could you do the grocery shopping? Both in their own minds are thinking that the end of this relationship is close. But in this simple illustration, the problem here is simply that they do not understand the language of love of the other. So let's start with Bill. What love language does he speak? For him, it's words of affirmation. Think of this love language in terms of a puppy dog. When you talk lovingly and positively to a puppy, their happiness shows from head to tail. They soak up all those positive, kind, loving words, and it makes them so happy. That's Bill. Because Jan doesn't speak the same language of love, she didn't realize that by holding back on the verbal I love yous and the you're important to me and the I'm proud of you statements, because they have less meaning to her, she didn't realize she was making Bill feel unloved and neglected, unworthy and very alone. Not to mention just a handyman she keeps around. For these people, words of affirmation are critically important. So how did Jesus speak this language? Well, in front of thousands of people, Jesus said of John the Baptist, John, you are more than a prophet. Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater. Talk about affirmation. And when the woman anointed Jesus with oil from her alabaster flask, she has done a beautiful thing, and wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Again, powerful words of affirmation that hold true today. And for some, words of affirmation, especially from the people you love, is the most powerful language of love. So now let's look at Jan. Jan's language of love is acts of service. She shows her love by doing things for others, keeping house, doing the laundry, packing a lunch, organizing the garage. So for her to feel loved, Bill needs to do things to help her out, to show her by doing small acts of service rather than telling her. Think of people who speak this language like goldfish. They're independent and carry on with their lives without a lot of hoopla, swimming along, doing their thing. But they do need to be fed, and they do need to have their bowls cleaned some to survive. Now, they might not need a lot of physical touch. We had some fish. I don't remember anyone reaching in and pulling out a fish just to pat it. They don't really need quality time. They don't know if you're there or not. And they certainly don't need any words of affirmation. But they do need to be shown a little bit of love by little acts of service. And if you don't feed a goldfish or clean its bowl, it's going to die. Now remember Jan's list for Bill, fixing that squeaking door, trimming those roses, going to the grocery store? People whose language of love is acts of service are on the do unto others as you would have others do unto you team. Now Jesus was also excellent at this language of love. He washed his disciples' feet, showing himself to be a humble servant of humanity. He raised from the dead not only Lazarus, but Jairus' daughter and the son of a widow. But of course, Jesus' ultimate act of service was given on the cross when he was crucified for you and for me. Now, Jan and Bill have some friends, Sue and John. And one summer, Sue and John's neighbors were away on a family vacation for a month. They were both excited to have them return. John even went so far as to make a little sign that said, "Welcome home," and put it on their back door with a balloon and a bag of groceries to get them through dinner. Sue refused to help John with this. "That's a nice gesture," she said, "but wouldn't it be better if we were to wait until they return and then invite them over for dinner so we can hear all about their vacation? I mean, what are they going to do with that sign and balloon?" But John countered, "Everyone likes to know they've been missed. And a little gift, even one as simple as a homemade sign, can really make a person feel loved." Thanks, Sue. "Doesn't really make sense to me. I would think that time spent together hearing about their vacation would be far more appreciated." There go John and Sue, speaking different languages of love. Now, people often describe John as being one of the nicest men I've ever met. "He's so thoughtful," they say, "and is always doing such nice things for others and always thinks of the perfect gift." John's language of love? Gifts. He shows people how much he loves them by giving them thoughtful, well-presented gifts. And he receives love the same way, in kind, thoughtful gestures and gifts. Now, people whose love language is gifts are really similar to male humpback dolphins. Now, they show their love by giving the gift of music and playing a tune from their blowhole, but they also, to impress their lady friends, will retrieve a sponge from the depths of the ocean floor, bringing it to the surface and presenting it to her, oftentimes after tossing it around and catching it on his nose and standing on his tail and spinning around like dolphins do, and sometimes even wearing it as a hat to impress her. Jesus also spoke this language of gifts. Maybe not in the way that our friend John does, but two different times Jesus gave the gift of food to the masses of hungry people who had gathered to hear him. And before Jesus sent out his 12 disciples, he gave them the gift of the power and authority to cure diseases and to cast out demons. And on the cross, Jesus gave his mother and his best friend the gift of one another, knowing that both would be devastated after his death and would need each other. And his greatest gift to all who believe in him, the promise of the forgiveness of sins and life eternal in God's loving care. These are incredible ways to use the language of love, of gifts. Now, what about Sue? Well, she's not a gift giver. Material possessions don't mean much to her, although, like everyone, she does appreciate a thoughtful gift every once in a while. She doesn't necessarily need a lot of affirmation from others or things done for her or acts of service. But if you listen closely to Sue's words, you will hear her say things to John like, "I wish we spent more time together," or "It seems like you're not around a lot." These statements surprised John because what I know about John that you don't know is that he works from home. And in his mind, how much more time can you spend together than that? He almost never leaves that house, working in his office 8 to 10 hours a day. But that's not what this language of love is about. In this language, love is shown by quality of time spent together, not quantity. Sue craves time alone with John. Not while he's making a poster or ordering a gift online, just him and her, focused on each other. She's a bit like a canary. Canaries just want an attentive companion, someone to sit by them and listen to their song and to whistle a song back to them every once in a while. They don't notice who gives them their food or changes their water. They probably don't care too much about being touched, again, like the goldfish. And what you say to them isn't necessarily heard or even understood. But sit by their cage and listen to their song, and they can sing for hours. Now, as a side note, a canary who is ignored, who has no one to sing to, will die early. Not from a lack of food or water, but from a lack of love and attention. Now, having quality time, I don't think was ever an issue with anyone who spent time with Jesus. Jesus stayed close to his disciples for 3 years. They walked all over the Holy Land together. They sailed in boats together, and they ate every meal together. I'm not sure one of them ever complained that Jesus was distracted by the most popular sandal trends of the day, or was constantly looking out the windows of the houses to see who was doing what or who was wearing what. Jesus carefully guarded his quality time with those closest to him. The Bible tells us that one time when Jesus and his disciples were passing through Galilee, he wanted to keep the crowds away. And he said, "I don't want anyone to know, for I am here to teach you." Oftentimes, he went out on the Sea of Galilee with them, leaving the crowds on the shores just to be alone with his disciples. And don't you get the feeling from the Bible stories that when Jesus was speaking to you, you had his undivided attention? That is language of love of the quality time personality. Now, the last one is those whose language of love is physical touch, the honorable and moral kind. And truthfully, this is the easiest language of love to understand. It spans from the simplest pat on the back to the most intimate expression of love. A hug, a kiss, a back rub, a head scratch. These are all easy examples of this language. And people who speak this language feel most loved when affection is shown physically. And if you misunderstand that language, its effects include withdrawal and depression. Think of a cat. You don't have to feed them. If they're hungry, they'll go hunting. They don't really pay any attention to what you do or say. It's not really necessary to call them. My niece has a cat, and I watch her call him, and that cat just sits there and looks at her or walks away. But when they need some loving, you know it. They walk right upside you, rub themselves against your leg, hop on your lap, crawl up on your shoulder. And what do? We reciprocate with a good head or belly scratch. Jesus also spoke the language of love of physical touch. When the children came to Jesus, we hear that he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying hands on them. And how many times in the Gospels do you read about Jesus when he touched someone saying, "Rise and have no fear. Rise, your faith has made you well. Rise, you have been healed." He touched her hand and the fever left her. Those who had any who were sick with the various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus made it a point to physically touch because he understood the power of connection that we get from physical touch. Words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, gifts, physical touch. These are our five languages of love. And Jesus used all five of these so well. Well, he was Jesus, of course, but that's our challenge to work on. That's what Jesus is calling us to figure out. To love one another as we have been loved, to do unto others as we would have others do unto us, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So how do we do that? We follow Jesus' example. He identified people's love languages by asking a very simple question, and then listening, and then acting upon it. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Not, "What do you want me to do for you?" Or, "What do you want me to do for you now?" But, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then he would heal them with a physical touch or spend some quality time with them. If it was words of affirmation they needed, he spoke them. Or gave a gift of food. Or did an act of loving service as he washed the feet of his disciples. He always listened to the person and then determined the appropriate response and responded with the effective love language. And we can do that in our own lives. Helping the poor, receiving gifts is most likely the best love language. Someone sick or injured, perform an act of service that moves them towards healing. Lonely, reach out, hold a hand. Anxious, sit together and spend some quality time just being present. So for us to love like Jesus, we first need to be mindful of the different ways people receive love. And if it's different from the way we love, then we need to be careful to speak their language and not just our own. So as you go out this week, may God bless you as you find your own language of love. But more importantly, may God bless you as you discover the language of those you care for, so you may live a life of love the way God intends. Amen.